You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
Blessed is the person, a man, who perseveres under trial. There it is. You want to seek God's favor, his reward, his blessing, then the kind of person God blesses is the one who perseveres, endures under trial. Bummer, huh? You wish there was another message. It would be nice if it's like, blessed is a man who, and then you could fill in what it is that you would like to pursue, right?
Do you want to be a person whom God blesses? James makes it clear that God will bless those who persevere through the trial of life. God will not bless you because you are good or because God exists to give you what you desire. Today, Pastor Tom will help you understand the calling of a believer to endure. It means you live a life that believes and trusts God despite hard circumstances. It means not abandoning your faith. It means you abide with Jesus, cling to Him and His Word. He promises incredible blessing for this kind of life. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he begins his message, Seeking God's Approval and Reward.
If you've read any of the Gospels and you read the words of Jesus Christ, you know the same conclusion the men who heard him actually speak in his day, that never has there been a man who spoke like Christ. He would speak to people in a way that nobody'd really heard that before. It was Bible, it was scripture, but it was different. He spoke to their hearts. He spoke with authority. A lot of what he taught was to clean up not just the behavior, but the heart motivation that people had in the practice of their religion. Israel was a religious nation. It's not a secular nation. It's filled with religious people. But what motivated them in their religion? Motivation to Christ was everything. Why you came to worship God, what you expected to get out of what you did in religion, that mattered to Christ. He taught in the Sermon on the Mount, most famous sermon ever, that there were religious leaders that would pray in public and fast in public and do this and do that in order to be seen by men, right? And he said, okay, paraphrase, you wanted to be seen by men. You were seen by men, and you got your reward then in full. Whatever congratulations that people gave to you, that's all you're going to get, because God, he's not going to give you any reward. You wanted men's approval, you got it. But what you ought to be doing in your heart, motivation, is you ought to be seeking to please God, right? Motivation matters. In John 4, he told the woman by the well, God desires people who will worship him in spirit and truth. These are the kinds of worshipers God seeks to have. Not the phony, not those who invent their own words, but those who are genuine and listen to the word of God and worship him that way. That's what God seeks. Paul reflected on being genuinely motivated in his second letter to the Corinthians. He spends really the whole book almost explaining his heart to the Corinthians who had so falsely judged him and helping them to understand his inner motivation. He said, we have as our ambition, whether in the body at home or absent, that is up in heaven, to be pleasing to God. He wanted to be pleasing to God. When he wrote the Galatians in this first chapter, he said, am I now pleasing men? If I were pleasing men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm suffering for this, guys. I seek to please God. That's what I'm trying to do here. So with some of those great examples in Scripture, I would just ask you today, why are you following Jesus Christ? Why are you choosing to be here in church? What are you hoping to get out of religion? What is it that motivates you in your heart? What are you doing here? What's on the inside in your conscience that only you and God can hear and know? Well, today, just in one tiny verse, we're going to see James, the author of this great epistle, focus us on core motivation, what we hope to get out of it all. Where does all of this lead? What should be in our heart right now? It's James chapter 1. I'm sure most of you turned there. If you haven't, please go ahead and open your Bibles there. James chapter 1. James follows the book of Hebrews. So we're still in chapter 1. We're only verse 12, and that's as far as we'll get today. One verse. Blessed is a man, James writes there. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I find this verse to be a fitting conclusion to James's opening topic dealing with trials. I would put it in verses 2 through 11 and not with the verses that follow. Different people break it at different places, but I think it goes much better with verses 2 through 11. Please notice that the words and the themes in this one verse connect backwards. There is the term trial that is repeated and used earlier. There is the theme of perseverance or endurance, which is also accentuated. There's the idea of testing and even blessedness in the midst of trials that he repeats. Verse 12 also continues the theme of eschatological reversal that we saw in verses 9 through 11. That is, that in the end, as you look at life all the way to the end, the rich and the poor, well, that's not going to matter today. It's all going to be the same. The poor Christian will be given a great inheritance in the kingdom and have that forever. The rich brother should realize that he's fading away in this life. Everything is equal. And so when you come to verse 12, it's kind of like been building through the section, and this is a climax, a punctuation mark, if you would. What follows in verses 13 through 16 is really a new topic. It's the topic of temptations. Unlike trials, temptations are not something to be endured. They are something to be resisted and run from. Why? Because temptations don't build us up. They are a solicitation to do evil, and evil tears us down. Trials are thoughtful difficulties God the Father brings into our life to clean us up and to strengthen us and make us better believers, to mature us. There is a world of difference between those two thoughts: temptation to drag you down and destroy you, or a trial to build you up, make your faith stronger, and bring a greater blessing to you. Now James kind of puts the capstone on that teaching on trials by teaching us there's only one way today to live which will lead to blessedness in the future. And that is right now we should be out of our love for God seeking to please him, seeking a reward from him, not from men. Be pleasing in God's sight. That's the right motive. What would be the wrong motive? To live for yourself. Everywhere you turn in society, it tells you, usually to make money off of you, live for yourself, you deserve it, right? Isn't that the message you're getting everywhere? Commercials, friends, even in false religion. It's all about you, how your life can be this and how God can be your servant and make it better this way. It's all about you. That's false religion. True religion is what it's about God. What glorifies God? What does he like to hear? What is pleasing to him? If you live for yourself, you live for your own pleasure, right? You make the decisions and line up your life and your money and everything so that you can get your life arranged so it'll be just that little oasis that you want for yourself and poo-paw on the rest of the world, right? It's just about you. It's about your empire. It's about your fun. If your family doesn't fulfill that, then forget the family. You'll go find someone else. If the job doesn't fulfill that, forget them. Who needs to be loyal to them? You'll move on. It's self-motivation, right? People want to become liked. They want to become the coolest person. They want to fit in. They wear the right clothes in order to do that. They drive the right car in order to do that. They associate with certain people and disassociate with others in order to achieve some achievement for themselves. And they turn their back to God. They don't really want to please him. They just throw a little religion in because that also looks good to some men. Well, I think this lesson is important, and I think this verse really impresses on us, you know, two overall realities about seeking reward from God. First of all, we need to know who it is that God actually rewards. Who is it that God blesses? So that's the first point. We need to know who God blesses. And by knowing who God blesses, say to ourselves, that's the guy I want to be. I want to be the one whom God blesses. And then the second part here, it neatly divides into two parts, is to know what way God blesses us. See, because we may want certain blessings now, but we need to understand how God blesses. Who does God bless, and how does he bless them? That's our outline, and that's our focus from this verse. Look at verse 12 again. We start with who it is that God blesses. Blessed is a man. So first of all, we know God never blesses ladies, right? Blessed is a man. I knew that all along. Of course not. That's a male term, but it means and stands for the human race. Blessed is the person, a man, who perseveres under trial. There it is. You want to seek God's favor, his reward, his blessing, then the kind of person God blesses is the one who perseveres, endures under trial. Bummer, huh? You wish there was another message. It would be nice if it's like, blessed is a man who, and then you could fill in what it is that you would like to pursue, right? Ain't that way. False Christianity says that's what God says. You hear that enough on TV. That's false Christianity. Uses all the same terminology, but makes God the servant of your cause rather than you the servant of his cause. That's really how you can divide it. Are you living for God or living for yourself? Does God serve you or do you serve God? What is it? So, I want to be a blessed man. Hope you want to be a blessed person. Someone blessed by God. Let's describe exactly who this person is. The idea of a blessed man was not something new to the Jews. Jews had this in their Hebrew scriptures, and they understood that God gave blessings upon a certain kind of a man, and he did not bless other kind of people. James is a Jew. He's writing to Jewish Christians here very early in the history of the church, so they're very familiar with this concept. He doesn't even have to introduce it. He just says, blessed is the man. Let's just reflect on very small portion of the Hebrew scriptures that would repeat this kind of a thing. Very first one of all the Psalms, the first verse, Psalm 1:1 says, and there it is, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There's a lot of counsel in the wicked. Blessed is the man that ignores that. And then it goes, dot, 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 but his delight is in the law of God. There it is. How do we be blessed? My delight, inner core motivation, is in the law of God, not listening to the counsel of wicked people. God will bless that. Psalm 32, verses 1 and following, has a number of blessings there. It says, how blessed is he whose transgression or sin is forgiven. That's a blessing. Whose sin is covered. We all sin. How blessed is the one whose sin is covered. By who? By God, right? Psalm 40 and verse 4, another example. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. Have you made the Lord God your trust? And has not turned to the proud people, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Don't turn to those. Put your trust in God. The proud boast about what they're able to do for you. Don't put your trust in them is the point. Psalm 106:3, how blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness all the times. So wonderful to have a leader who always wants to do the righteous and just thing, right? Who looks out for the unborn or looks out for the orphan or the widow or whatever to really do the right thing. What about this one, Psalm 112:1? How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Proverbs 3:13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. All these are blessings from God. You got the idea, right? Blessedness is related to obedience, to godly living, to wisdom. You ask God for wisdom, God gives it, then you learn from that wisdom, you walk in the pathway God wants you to walk in. As you're walking in that pathway, its end leads to blessing. You could picture the pathway now, it's got its twists and turns, but that is the pathway on which leads to blessing. Jesus even picked up on this theme when he talked about the two gates, remember? The end of the Sermon on the Mount, he's really talking about how do you enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, well, there's a very small gate and a narrow way, and that's the one that leads to life. You got to be humble to go through that gate. You're going to not follow very many people because most people are going to say they don't want to go. And then there's a very wide, probably a beautiful gate. Lots of people look at it. They say, this is the way to go. They look at one another. They say, well, that's the way everyone else is going, and they follow that way. And Jesus said that way leads to destruction. So there's only two ways, life, destruction, that's it. So there's a way that is right and leads to blessing. Now, we haven't even learned what the blessing is. Whatever the blessedness is, this is supposed to be something good. People are supposed to hear that in the Bible and say, I want to be blessed. Put the blessing on me. Don't forget me. I want to be blessed. It's a good thing. Now, when the Bible says someone is blessed, please understand, it's not talking about a wish in the wind. I kind of hope this will happen, but it has no substance to it, you know? A blessing from God is a rock solid pronouncement of fact. Blessed is the man who. Whoever does this is blessed. Guaranteed. That's what it is. In fact, a blessing, if you were to think about what's the opposite of a blessing, it would have to be something where they're pronounced and there's some kind of something really bad that's going to happen to them. One word that is used in the Bible that's the opposite of that is the word woe. Woe. Not like, you know, you pull the horse back and say, don't run anymore, you're scaring me. But woe as in eternal condemnation awaits you. Isaiah really picks up on this. I'll just give you a sampling of that. Isaiah 3:11, woe to the wicked. That'd make a great church sign. I'm still waiting for a great church sign one day. Just put it out there rather than, you know, Jesus likes you and so do I. All this stuff out there drives me nuts. Just woe to the wicked. That would save more people, I think. And then the next one would be a nice subscript. It will go badly with him. Bible's blunt. For what he deserves will be done to him. Man. Isaiah 5:11. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them. Yeah, what were you doing last night? Isaiah 10:1. Woe to those who enact evil statutes. Listen up, Congress. And to those who constantly record unjust decisions. Listen in, Supreme Court. Isaiah 29:15, woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord and whose deeds are done in a dark place, and they say, who sees us? Man, that sounds like today, doesn't it? So getting God's blessing rather than God's woe, that's a great thing. Blessed translates the Greek adjective makairos, sometimes various versions translated as happy, rather weak translation, I think. Blessedness certainly involves happiness, but the word is much richer. Feelings come and go. Bauer, in his Greek-English lexicon, gives it this sense. One who is blessed is a, quote, privileged recipient of divine favor. In other words, it goes way beyond happiness to good fortune, to a safe, stable, joyous position, to a bright and glorious outcome. People who are blessed should be congratulated because it's a very desirable condition to be in. It's something that has joy, and the joy just keeps bubbling. They're blessed. So please don't base your understanding of blessedness on mere feelings or present circumstances. Oh, wow, he won the lottery. He's blessed. No. It's much more than that. And I want to linger on this thought just a little bit because I found that this is one of those religious terms and people come in and like blessed and I don't know what goes through, but they don't really, particularly the young people, it's like, why do I want to be blessed? That doesn't sound exciting. Who really wants to be blessed? I want to do something meaningful in life. I want to go places and meet people and do fun things. And so let me put it to you in some slightly different words. Someone who is blessed is someone who wins and doesn't lose. And gets to have all the spoils of the victor, all the riches and the fame and the glory and the privilege and the joy that comes with that is blessed. Victory. Yes, that's what it is. Winning during this life, you know, those that, you know, I'm richer than you, I got more, look nicer than you, I got a nicer job than you. And they say it in so many ways, ha ha. Winning in this life, come on, it's not that impressive. It's really not that impressive. It doesn't even achieve for them lasting happiness. They're all sad because they're having to brag to try to get more happiness by bragging about what they think brings them happiness, and it obviously doesn't, or they wouldn't be bragging. When I hear people bragging how well they're doing now, that's like bragging when your team is winning at halftime. Don't join the world in their halftime celebrations. When the trumpet sounds, as Scripture says, and the end comes near, when the end of your life draws near or Christ is about to come, they will lose miserably. Woe to them. You, believer in Jesus, will win. The blessing here refers to the favor of God and the favors of God and the bliss that is promised to be coming. No one knows how to make us happy, blessed, joyful. No one knows better how to do that than God. That's why Satan is always maligning God as if he's out of touch with our lives. You have to trust God, not the devil. Of course, the blessings start now spiritually. They're here. But there's even more that's to be realized in the life to come. D. Edmund Hebert writes this. He says, blessedness points to a state of the soul that the believer begins to experience in his life now, even amid adverse outward circumstances, but its full bliss will be realized only in the future life. Whatever Christianity has brought you now, it's nothing compared to what it will bring to you in the future. Blessedness is actually what everybody in the world wants. They seek it. They want to be blessed. They just don't know that they're wanting to be blessed. And they're looking for blessing in all the wrong places. They're looking for blessing from the world. They're looking for blessing from sinning, by being proud, by pursuing things. They're trying to get out of that their own blessing, and it fails them and fails them. It's money and sex and toys and games and me, me, me. And they're seeking the blessing, and they never really get it. They listen to Christ. What did he say? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came full of abundance, right? You would have abundant life. He knows better. That's what he wants, to give us abundance. God wants us to be joyful. He wants to give us glory and blessing. Now, how does one actually become that blessed person? Well, now we're back to what follows. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. The blessing, which is mostly in the future, comes because of something that we do now in the present. Now we persevere. Now we endure, and we endure under trial. Yes, that sounds very similar to verses 2 through 4, where we were told, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trials produce endurance. Endurance brings about that completion of character and maturity that we long for. It is not a blessing that is pronounced for those who try to escape their trials. It is not a blessing that is pronounced on those who successfully dodge their trials. Aw, rats. It is a blessing for the one who walks through the fire and gets cleansed. Blessing for him or her. Let me take it a step further. It is not a blessing that merely goes to those who have trials and then they go through the trial. Everybody has trials. Unbelievers have trials. Unbelievers have things that are hurtful that happen to them, right? It's not just anybody who suffers that has this blessing. That's not what he's saying. It is the one who has faith in Jesus Christ, and then he endures trial, he's strengthened through that trial. Yes, it's painful, but his faith and confidence in God doesn't shrink back. It goes forward. That person who perseveres under trial, perseveres with his faith under trial, that person is blessed by God. Looking forward again, let's go to chapter 5, verse 11 in James. I just want to show you this as a little example he brings later. We talked about this earlier, but James 5, 11. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So why do we have all these people in the Bible, person after person, male, female, during this generation, that generation? They're dealing with difficult circumstances, and the difficult circumstances that David had are different than Ruth, and Ruth is different than Esther, and Esther's different from Daniel, and Daniel's different from Moses. But in all the variety of these people that are in Scripture, and we read about their trials, then we read about their endurance in the trial, not quitting in their faith, and then we read about their blessing that followed. Because God is always faithful to his own.
God promises blessings to those who believe and endure. Life as a believer will be hard, but if you endure through all trials, God will reward you. Today, Pastor Tom exhorted you to hold fast to your faith, abide in Christ, and remain in his word. He is present with you, and you will be strengthened through trials. Pastor Tom encouraged you to live your life with a heart of motivation to please God in all you do out of your love for him. We're blessed to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners through the ministry of Discover Hope. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or if you have more questions, we invite you to visit the What Does It Mean to Be a Christian page under the About Us at hopebible.org. This will provide you with a concise description of why you need Jesus in your life and how you can be free from sin. We'd like to speak and pray with you too, so please give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. Again, that's 443-200-HOPE. If you are living a life of steadfast faith, obedience, and love for God through this difficult life, there is a blessing to come because of the way you live your life now. Next time on Discover Hope, you'll learn that this life is a test of faith, and as you live life faithfully, God will bless you with the crown of eternal life. This should energize you. Pastor Tom will help you to see the incredible promise God gives and how you can receive His gift. Thanks for tuning in today for Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Tom, visit hopebiblechurch.org. There's much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll join us again right here on Discover Hope.